Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of State of the Shunion, the only sneaker podcast where it's warm enough to wear shorts for Christmas. I'm your co-host, Ryan Landry.
I'm your sweaty feet co-host, Tanner Young.
It's going to be a warm one this year, and there's no signs of it letting up anytime soon.
They said also possibly snow, so we literally have no idea.
What does Rob Perillo know at this point?
It's all a guessing
game. But if we can't trust him, who can we trust?
You darn too. I'll trust Rob Perillo before I trust the government.
Before my own family in some instances here, I would say.
Exactly. Exactly.
To everyone that's new here, welcome. We're a sneaker podcast based out of Louisiana, here with one of our biggest episodes of the year. But first, if you're new here, or if you're just lazy and you haven't done it yet, please like this video. Please go ahead and subscribe. And if you're listening over on Spotify or iTunes or, God help your soul, Google Podcast or whatever it's called, shut it down. Get out of the dark ages. Come join us over on YouTube.
Thank you.
YouTube.com/@ShoePodcast because, Tanner, we got the visuals to go along with a Mondo-sized episode today.
Wow. Let me tell you what. Your eighth grade computer science teacher would be, aghast right now to see what you've created.
Yeah, it's something.
I agree. It's beautiful.
I put the time and put the effort in. I appreciate that.
It's appreciated.
Well, Tanner, let the people what we got going on today.
Oh, I feel underdressed. I feel like I should have my tuxedo t-shirt on. But it's great. So we have, like Ryan said, it is our end of the year episode. We're going to go through. We have some phenomenal categories that we're going to go through. And we're going to give a simple honorable mention. And then we're going to tell everyone who sits at the top of the throne.
Right, exactly. And long-listening fans of the show are already caught for a curveball saying, what's that? One honorable mention and then one winner per category? So far, so good. So far, Scout's Honor. What is that, three? Scout's Honor so far. I'm holding to it.
That's good. That's good because most of them, obviously we have our, you know, Ryan hinting at his collaborative of the year nominations, but we'll get into it. So we'll go ahead and normally we typically do a surprise. It's usually where we don't share our list and things like that, but this year we're gonna do a little bit different. Each of us knows the list ahead of time. We've kind of seen it, but to be able to add to the viewer experience, created a nice little visual. So gonna go ahead and get some of this part one.
You want to go first ahead and get four it kicked
categories
off?
I think so. I think it is ready to go. Should we tell them the categories ahead of time or just let them roll into it?
Go ahead and give them the categories ahead of time. This is like time? An award show. Yeah, go ahead.
Gotcha. Okay, so we've got most overhyped, most slept on, most innovative, people's champ, most collaborative, best.
You love it. Most collaborative. I mean, honestly, sticking with the most theme, that's a better title than
I guess it makes sense.
Best collaboration. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for everyone that is new here, we're not trying to, Tanner and I, come together and agree on each category. We're not trying to put together a top 10 of all time. There's so many releases in the year. We like to break it down into little chunks like this. That's the four categories we'll do in this one. This is part one. Next episode, part two, we'll have three more of these kind of categories and then the big kahuna. Sneaker of the year.
Sneaker of the year. Exactly. So a little taste, a little appetizer before we get to the real nitty gritty. So I think it's finally time.
Ready?
The dinner bell has rung and we are now seated at the table. We're going to start with our most overhyped. We're starting off pretty strong right here. Most overhyped. So look, again, if you're familiar with the show, it should not come as a surprise that a Travis Scott shoe is seeing a most overhyped. And I chose my honorable mention to be the Travis Scott Nike Air Trainer 1. Honestly, honorable mention could just be almost any Travis Scott, to be fair.
Yeah.
There's maybe a handful of Travis Scotts that I think deserve the hype. This one, when I thought of overhyped, I thought of, do you like the shoe? Or do you like the collaboration? Because if you say, hey, I want this because it's hype. I want this because it's Travis Scott. I'm about it. But then we had so many overhyped people come out the woodworks of people being like, I love it. Like Air Trainer 1. It's like, well, which one? Oh, the Travis Scott one. It's like any other colorways? Or you just like, you could just say you like his version of it. Like, that's I'm fair. Fine with that. That's but fine. The internet just really, I feel like this was everywhere. This was a big blow up.
I get you. I get you on that. Can I maybe, I don't know. I don't know that I want to say playing the hype beast here, but I will try to make the case of like, no, I really like these, but
yeah, go ahead.
I think what I like about these though, is that they're so close to ACG vibes, which always repping.
Hey, but, there you go.
That said, I still didn't buy a pair. I think the little shroud thing that comes over the top is like, you know, even I could be like, I don't go outside all that much actually, but you know, so it's like, it's a little over the top. So yeah, I don't necessarily like that this is a Cactus Corporation or a Travis Scott shoe. I like that they did a little bit more of a rugged take on the Air Trader one. That being said, I still didn't buy a pair. So it's not like I'm like, this is a good shoe and you missed on it.
Fair enough. And that's another thing. It's a pretty good shoe, especially with this colorway. It's not bad. I just thought blown up way too much.
Yeah.
Way too much for what it was.
I get that.
And that leads me into my number one most overhyped, kind of going along the same train here of, did you like the shoe or did you like the collab? And that was the Union Air Jordan 2, either of the colorways.
You put those hands up real quick as if like the internet was coming to fight and you were like, check this out. I got both sides on you.
I got both sides. Again, this is one of those things. I'm like, okay. Literally before the shoe, no one talked about the Jordan 2. The Jordan 2 was so not even people's minds that people were talking more. Do people talk about more about the Jordan 1 mid than a Jordan 2?
That's fair.
Okay. No one wears Jordan 2s. There's a handful of people who actually wear Jordan 2s, but for the most part, nobody wears it. Turns out, you put a limited supply and a really popular brand.
People turns out loving it.
Everyone loves Jordan 2s.
I'm a big Jordan 2 guy.
And so this was the easy of like my most overhyped. Just because, I mean, you have, like I said, everyone come out the woodworks. Big people come be like, is this Jordan 2? Is a Jordan 2 a hit now? I always love Jordan 2s. It's like, I've never seen Jordan 2s. On all the sneaker communities that I'm a part of, No one has ever been posting Jordan 2s.
It's definitely
no one like is the, grailing Jordan 2s.
It's definitely like the contrarian's take, I would say. Like, I think when you're trying to cut through the noise of like a crowd of sneakerheads to be like, I actually really like the Jordan 2 is a little bit like, okay, I see you. I recognize you. I see you. You are individual. You are unique. You know, I get it. You know?
Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think? How would you say I fared?
I would say still overhyped just from it being a Jordan 2. I mean, I can remember when these came out and Union was having a botched release on their website. And so many people on the internet were like,
I forgot about that.
What are we doing? These are Jordan 2s. Like, why are we doing that? Myself included. I picked up this pair, this exact colorway here. The credit I will give them is that I will say better in person, better in hand. Like, I was surprised by how much I actually enjoyed them. That being said, still sold them, did not keep them. So I'm not, again, neither of these, both of them, I appreciate them. I like the take and the twist they did because they're both in that workwear, you know, outdoors kind of doing something, manual labor. I'm not a data analyst that works from home 5 days a week. I'm a person. I'm a real person. I'm not just sitting here looking at Excel 5 days a week. So I think like they speak to that part of me that wants to be this guy. But still, I mean, the botched release they had, the fact that the tag said holiday 21 and they released in February and maybe the biggest, the most egregious crime of all, leather sock liners. We got to stop doing leather sock liners, especially on high tops. It is the worst. That was a big reason. That was a big part of as to why I didn't keep them. I like the colorway because it's very neutral, and I love my neutrals. I love my beiges, but
very true. Okay, that's
a good point. I wasn't really gonna wear a Jordan 2 that much, anyways, and so then leather sock liner for me was like, yeah, I'm not gonna grab this ever.
Definitely a hard choice. Oddly enough, too, I feel like kind of how you said 2022 was a weird, almost like celebrity influencer cosplay of someone who works a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
It was a weird year of like being like, I'm a I'm a 100 millionaire, but I look like I'm in the oil field.
I'm like, right, exactly.
I don't know about that. So it does kind of make sense that I think fashion wise, fashion sneakers, they are, blended well together. So,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's my overhype. Ryan, let the people hear it. Exactly. Please.
Let me tell you what we got here. Clear the slate.
Ooh.
Palette cleanser.
I'm ready. Yes, sir.
First one up, I want to talk about my honorable mention is going to be the Tom Saks and Nike Craft general purpose shoe. I remember when they started, when the big ad campaign for these come out. Ooh. And it said boring shoe. And I was like, you got that right. I'm glad you guys are leaning into it. But, at least you're honest. At least you know what you're doing. But then I think the internet was just like, we love Tom Saks so much because the Mars Yard is a grail. And have you ever seen anyone build furniture out of plywood and drill holes in it? And I'm like, I like what he's doing as an artist, but it's not like top tier Van Gogh elevation status right there. So when these came out, I mean, these are such like you can't say it, but like if the name wasn't on it, these would be sitting, but they're just so close to like the kill shot wave, the Nike kill shot wave that we had like 5-6 years ago or something like that.
Weren't these the ones that they released in
they eventually had some go to Kohl's. Yeah.
Kohl's. Okay. I remember because didn't they say like for a boring shoe, it's going to release in a boring place or something like that?
Well, I don't know if Nike ever said that, but that's hilarious. Oh, okay.
I don't know if Nike, I feel like I saw it and I was like, yo, Kohl's is down bad. That they were like, fired. Yeah, we'll agree with this campaign.
It's whatever. Can we have some shoes?
People are going to come? Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But it's funny. I'm now realizing these shoes also play into that work wear, I need a pair of shoes I can wear every day and beat into the ground vibe. I think it's kind of funny, though, that like every time this shoe, they've re-released the colorway a couple of different times here. They've re-released the colorway a couple different times here. And every time after they release it and it sells out, Tom Saks will do a post on Instagram being like, do not pay resale for this shoe. It's a perennial shoe. It's going to keep releasing in different colorways. So like, there does seem to be, at least they're sticking to their story of like, this is a boring shoe made for people to wear and just like have and like not be hyped. But it tickles me that the internet keeps gobbling it up and it's like, it's Tom Saks. This is the hype shoe. We got to keep buying it.
I mean, that's also a lot of his campaign. Like a lot of his campaign is like, I'm not making shoes for, the sneaker community. I'm not making shoes for hypebeast. And I'm like,
I don't know if you mean to, but you are. It's like, that's the only way I could say it. It's like, I don't know if this is your intention, but it's what's happening.
It is exactly what's happening.
Quick side note, whatever happened to the Mars Yard 2.5? Remember last year, like the rubber toe, we're going to send it to beta testers? And then this one came out. I think that's also what put such a sour taste in my mouth for this one. This came out, I was like, what did the people just beta test for?
Yeah, which was, I mean, I thought that was an interesting concept of beta testing a shoe.
Yeah.
And then I guess reviews were bad.
I guess the tests were not good.
They're like, dang, we got a lot of fix.
Anyways, I will go ahead and share the cactus love with you because my most overhyped shoe of the year is going to be the Travis Scott and Air Jordan 1 Low Reverse Mocha. I had to look up to remind myself if they came out this year because I felt like this was forever ago.
Fair enough.
And I feel like the hype's kind of died down on them now. You don't really see people talking about them that much. You still see people wearing them. But to me, I mean, like, I guess it's like, I don't find it that surprising. It seems like softballs now that every year when we do this show, it's either going to be like a Travis Scott or a rest in peace, Virgil Off-White shoe.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the nature of the beast of like where we're at,
100%. And that's the thing, like, which we have said multiple times with definitely Off-White. Just because it's considered overhyped does not mean that we think it's a terrible shoe.
It's not a bad shoe.
It is just one of those things where, again, without the collaboration, is this. I would say that I do think, even without the collaboration, I think this colorway does go pretty hard. And
harder than the original?
No. Okay. No.
Same here.
Okay. No, the Jordan 1 Mocha is
yeah.
top tier.
Yeah.
Okay. But I do think they do this colorway without the Travis Scott. It's still a huge hit.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I still think it would probably be. It might have hit the maybe not most overhyped, but I definitely think it would have got a lot of hype. I didn't think the Mochas had a ton of hype, and then they sold out like crazy. So I think the reverse Mocha would have definitely hit the hype.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Nike was like, well, people turns out love Mocha. What if we do a reverse colorway?
People do be drinking all the time. That chocolate coffee every day a week. These people love every Mocha.
Hey, I won't put on the feet.
Keep that Starbucks in business.
Hey. So not bad. I think oddly enough, I feel like we've had way more to talk about our honorable mentions so far than our actual number ones.
Just because sometimes when something is so overhyped, you're like, I don't have anything to say about it. And that's why I don't understand why the internet is shouting about it. Because like to me, I can't talk about it for 2 minutes. I'm like, how did he do it? How did he cook it up? They did the colors, but inverted.
Inverted. And the swoosh is backwards.
Yeah.
All right. Well, not bad for category number one. I think a good first start. Moving on to our second category. Ooh. Most slept on.
Ooh. I like that little ooh you threw in there. Ooh,
with the moody light.
Yeah.
I'm definitely hitting the snooze. I feel like the whole community hit the snooze in this category.
Uh oh. Speak on it.
Speak on it. Well, I'm gonna quick little introduction right here. Our ease you in my honorable mention for my most slept on, the New Balance 550, vintage indigo.
This colorway specifically. Okay.
I think this colorway goes ham.
Okay.
Use a dated phrase, I think it goes ham. It does fit like I know the dad shoe aesthetic is on its down wave. But okay. I also feel that the New Balance heat is on an uptick. So
it's hot as ever.
This silhouette is in a weird cross section.
Yeah.
Of the silhouette is not super favorable anymore.
Yeah.
But the interest in New Balance is going up. Okay. And I just think it's a great colorway. I think it fits with really anything. You have a subtle hint of that indigo kind of popping in. You've got the not a white shoe, you know, you have that weathered, you know, old vintage look to it, which I would say 2022, I was very into the weathered look, but I just feel like I just didn't see a whole lot of hype on this one. And personally,
I didn't know about this one until you put it on the list here.
I saw it a lot on my Instagram, but whenever I would click on it, I mean, like not even 100 likes on it, or like 100 and something likes on it. But understandable, it's not a super loud shoe. It's not something that's going to really bring in the crowd. But again, I personally felt like this deserved a platform.
Okay. Okay.
And then moving on, which I was something I was very surprised with. My number one for most slept on was the Concepts Nike SB Dunk Low Orange Lobster.
I'm going to have to hear your thoughts on this one, because this is going to be a talking point.
So here's the thing with the...
He's doing it with the lobster claws trying to make his point here. Okay.
With the heritage that the SB Dunk lobsters, you know, that they have, we've seen and how much people talk about it. I personally did not feel like I saw a lot about this shoe. I personally feel like it was like a little bit towards the release, and then once it dropped, it was done. I didn't see a lot coming up to it. I didn't see a lot of people talking about it after. And it is, I don't know if it's the colorway, maybe, but I definitely thought that with, like I said, the lineage of the lobsters, I just thought this was going to be way, way more hot than it was. I personally don't feel like it slept on. Like, I think this is better, and people thought it was lame. I just assumed that I thought this was going to be overhyped. And I personally feel like it was a little underhyped.
Now, I don't mean to be rude and divert my eyes from the screen here, but I was trying to do my research. I should have done ahead of time.
Go ahead.
Have the general release of these happened? Like, has the wide release of these happened? Because Concepts had a release.
Didn't they do? Okay, I know. Yeah, I know there Concepts was. I don't know if they did a general release.
I think I wasn't paying super attention to these because I wasn't really going for them. I thought the Concepts release they did was only for the special box version, which like the price on that I think was north of $200. My eyes were diverted because I was just checking the sneakers app. I don't see them there, and I don't know. It's been so long since the last Lobster release. I can't really remember, but I don't know if skate shops are getting these because I don't recall seeing Ruckus or Humidity post anything. So I don't know if all of that leads to your feeling of talk about them because maybe just the bigger release hasn't happened on them yet.
I didn't see anything of a release date just when the release happened.
Okay. I haven't been paying enough. Again, we talked about this in the last episode. I think we did this release specifically, and I'm sticking by what I said then. I'm not that interested in the shoe. I'm not really trying to go for it, but
I think of the colorways that the Lobster pack has, it's definitely, I would say, on the lower end for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But with all the hype that is all of the Lobsters and how sought after they are, I just really thought that this would be, and people go hard for the custom boxes or the special boxes for the packs. I just really thought that these were going to be a lot bigger. And I just, again, this is the New Balance 550 is something that I just think is an actual good shoe that I feel like not a lot of people talk about. Whereas the Lobster was, I assumed this was going to blow up on all of the forums and seemed quiet.
So my last two notes here before we move on. First one, when you were talking about the 550 and you were talking about, you know, the dad trend, maybe, you know, this silhouette may be cooling down, the New Balance trend hotter than ever.
Yeah.
Idea for season 5 of the podcast, we're going to have to invest in getting you a green screen, but we need a segment where you are the Rob Perillo of our podcast and you do weather patterns on sneaker trends.
Let's get it.
So the Patreon is hotter than ever. If you're looking to make an investment, we need a green screen.
Right. Maybe we put goals on the Patreon. That's what it is.
That's what we should. Yeah. That's kind of more green like a Kickstarter, but still we'll have them.
We'll get there too.
Note number 2, I haven't been paying enough attention to this release to know. I get a feeling the internet's going to disagree with you on this one being a slept on, but I want everyone to leave the comments and let us know because obviously neither of us are super clued in to know. You have your feeling. You haven't been seeing it a lot. I've personally not been paying attention to it. So if you're out there watching or listening, let us know what you think about the Concepts of Nike SB Orange Lobster Dunk. Do you feel like it's getting that a lot of attention or not that much attention? I'd be curious to know.
Yeah, I think so.
My turn.
We
got some real, I don't want to say real underground because these released at sneaker boutiques and they were in store so you could go see them. These are not super, super scarce, but I was surprised by them and I guess I shouldn't be that surprised that they didn't take off and you'll see why. Honorable mention coming in is the Saucony Shadow 6000 Kintsugi. Not a collaboration. Kintsugi is the name of the colorway or the silhouette. I believe it's a style, bad research on my part. I believe it's a style of art of broken pottery that's put back together. And that's why it has all that little cracks in it. This one angle is not doing it justice, but there are tons of little details and different materials and different colors on this shoe to where I saw them in politics before I saw them online anywhere, which you know as well as I do. For a sneakerhead in today's day and age, seeing something in store before you see it online is like the coolest feeling because it doesn't happen anymore. And I was looking them up and down trying to find the name on it because I assumed these were a collaboration. They kind of remind me of, you know, the Air Max 1 Daisies that you have that you look at it and you're like, this seems like collaboration material. Like, this seems a little bit better than your average general release. But there was nothing on it. I took a picture of them on my phone and had to look them up later, which really gives you that feeling of like back in the day. So I don't know. I shouldn't be that surprised because they're Sauconys and Sauconys aren't like a hot brand right now, but
yeah,
I feel like people slept on these for the attention to detail and storytelling that went into them.
Okay. I mean, good colorway.
Hard to go wrong with like this kind of slate blue with the little accents of color there and the little, like big over exaggerated stitching details. I like those.
Yeah, I think it looks good. I like the design of the shoe. Almost have like, you know, this overlapping feel to it. Mm-hmm. Very cool. I think it was great. Yeah, I don't think I have seen these. I don't think I.
Okay.
But that's a good looking shoe.
And then similarly on the Underdog Ooh. Dip right here, my first hey. Place most slept on of the year, the A Few and ASICS Gel Light wow. 3 Beauty of Imperfection. Again, this one sat. This one went on sale, I think, as well. And I didn't end up, again, neither of these I grabbed. So I feel like there's a little bit of hypocrisy to be like, these are so slipped on. I didn't get them either. But
I also did
I just feel like materials and colorway and execution on both of these are like super solid and clean, you know? Like, if you like those sort of muted pastel colorways that will go with a lot of stuff, not super vibrant and loud, suede, soft to the touch, these to me are both up there in terms of like execution and details for sure.
I hit a purple in the back. It's just
I love it. I love the so colorway good. On those.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think very solid. I mean, yeah. Both with a Saucony and ASICS.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, definitely on the quieter brands, but yeah. Also great to see because while they are a quieter brand, it's like, yo, they are putting out some serious heat.
Yeah. And that's why, and not to try and shoehorn another honorable mention there, but to let you know, I'd considered the Dizygotic shoes for the most slept on. Because, I mean,
yeah,
when you want to talk about materials and Holy execution, cow. There's nothing
you
that
can't
touches
beat
them.
That one.
But it feels weird to put them on the most slept on because I think just the brand in general is not that well known yet. So it's like, you know,
yeah,
how can you tell people they're sleeping on something they don't even know about? You know, whereas these went to stores that people go to and sat and went on sale.
Yeah. Good. I mean, Dizygotic, not to, again, toot the horn of Dizygotic, but phenomenal shoe. Hopefully gonna start popping off with their most recent collab with the Cheech and Chong.
It really should.
Yeah. So I agree. I think Dizygotic slept on brand, but kind of hard to sleep if you don't know. But
right.
I agree with these two. I think these are two fantastic picks. You look at those shoes and you're like, man, those are that's a good pair. And I think the only thing that would have people sleep on these is maybe paying like a full price for maybe an ASICS or a Saucony, even
Good
though
news. I think they both the went on sale. So hey, if that's so, your hold up no more. Go ahead,
even
past 200.
Even more reason if you're listening,
yeah,
to be watching.
There you go, the mid episode plug. I botched the Monopoly analogy in there, but you saved us with the replug. Yeah. I appreciate it. Well,
I'm trying to be innovative, just like this next category.
Who wrote the script on his screen? Who gave him liner notes? Ashley sitting across the room for you with the cue cards going up?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. She's out of her desk right now feeding me lines.
I love that. I figure with like the broadcast headset with like the microphone that's coming in.
Yeah. She's in the living room right now.
Next card.
So for this category, every time we do this, I struggle so much. I don't really know why. I think I get so boxed in with like innovation and what innovation means and things like that. So it took me a while to nail this category down. This definitely was my last one. For an honorable mention, please stand with me. The Nike Air Max Scorpion Flyknit, specifically the black Persian violet.
Look at you, this, a man of taste and color.
Yes, this specific colorway is a women's exclusive colorway.
Okay.
They do have, I think, six or seven colorways,
still relatively new silhouette, so that would make sense.
Yeah, three of them share a men's and women's exclusive, okay, while there are like maybe two or three women's exclusive colorways, and this is one of them. When I looked at this, it gave me very much like the... dang, what was that? I cannot remember the Air Max that took over. It was the bubbles.
The 720?
But like, no, the it was Vapor Max.
Yeah.
I remember when those came out, and those were a big one. Mm-hmm. That became super an Instagram popular shoe. Very, very popular. And it's almost like a freak accident happened in one of the...
It's like you left it in the car in the sun on the windshield.
Yeah. And they like blew up a little bit too big, and someone like at Nike was like, Hold up now. And this colorway specifically just kind of it really took me back to like those early 2000s where like kind of like the like that 60s sci-fi fascination came in. Okay. In the early 2000s. Okay. Like the like fashion, like the weird futuristic, you know, with the Oakley glasses and a lot of like foil clothing. This very much took me back to that time period. And when I think of innovative in the sense of being able to like push more of what is a norm for a shoe. Mm. And somewhat breaking kind of those boundaries, they're using their Flyknit, which is grounded, so you're familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier to come into. And then they just said, what if we just like the sole is just like four giant bubbles? And it just seems weird. It just seems weird, and it's just a fun shoe to kind of see and be like, is it? It's weird now, but who knows? And
this might be a thing.
Exactly. So that was my thought process with this category specifically, was not innovative in the sense of pushing technologies and new material or whatever it is, but more of a fashion outlook with it. And that is leading into my first place, which is the a MM6 Mason? Maison? Cannot say that other
Just M. Say Margiela. Just say Margiela and keep going.
There you go. Cross low. This is a weird looking shoe. It's so weird I can barely say the dang name.
Yep.
It is it's got a draw strap to it. It very much kind of gave me this ACG.
I know it. I
get it,
see
get it again.
The vibes are recognized.
Exactly. You know, so you have that utilitarian kind of like aspect to it. Very outdoorsy, bringing fashion into functionality. Mm-hmm. Kind of vibe. I honestly had never seen either of these shoes until I was researching for this specific category.
Not the most popular.
Either of those. And again, with both of these was of... they are so different than what a typical shoe would be.
Yeah.
And I'm not thinking of sneakers as this functionality and maybe pushing what is fashion. So those two are why I was like, okay, I think this is that innovative of like pushing either outside of what your comfort box is or being, hey, we can blend that functionality and fashion together.
I like it.
So that was
like
kind of my mindset with this one.
Yeah, I like where you went with this one. This is good. I'll tell you one quick story here on the Air Max Scorpion. It's about a year ago, maybe, when this silhouette like first was teased or something like that. And I remember at some point my sister was talking to me about her boss who was looking to get a new pair of sneakers. And you know when like anyone in your life who's not a sneakerhead is talking to you about things like this? And she describes to me, she was like, he's looking for like some new pair of sneakers that like looks like they have like blisters all on the bottom of them. And I was like, what shoe are you talking about? And she was like, hang on, I'll ask him for a picture. And she sends me a picture of these. And I was like, I can't unsee it now. So now every time I look, I'm just like blisters on the bottom. And I'm just like,
ugh. That is 100%. You got a blister.
Yep.
You spent a lot of time walking in a big city in
the
Jordan
shoes,
ones.
The shoes got blisters on the bottom of them. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I see.
Well, hopefully the shoes get some, not you.
Well, take one for the team. I appreciate it. I do very much like the Margiela and Solomon cross low. I have no idea what they go for, but I see Margiela in the name, and you can't afford it. So that's
you. Darn,
I'm gonna take that approach. I'm gonna take that approach with them. I'm sure it's not for me.
Darn tune.
I'll stick to my ACG lane. Speaking of sticking to my lane, time to get in my lane here. Segways. I'm learning. I'm picking up from the guy
boom,
over here.
Boom, boom. Yeah, I'm trying.
Most innovative honorable mention, the Mischief Wavy Baby sneaker. And here's the thought process for me. I don't see this really taking off. I don't really see this becoming a thing. But
no.
I'm still going to stop and recognize that they got a shoe to look like that and it's still wearable and functional questionably, but
I mean,
it's still wear. I heard a lot of reports of people not being able to go downstairs in them, but
yeah, I could see that. Ooh, downstairs. Yeah.
But I think Mischief is just an interesting brand. I think some, you know, a lot of the times, I don't want to say a lot of times, but there's been several times where they do something that's like, oh, kind of just being edgy for the sake of being edgy. Like they did, mm-hmm. I forget what their take on the Air Force One is called, but it's to me not that interesting to look at. Whereas this comes out and like it literally looks like all the pictures are Photoshopped, but it's not. And so to see it, it's just like people holding them in hand, it's just super trippy to look at. So I'm not here to claim and fight that all innovation is good innovation or that this is even the direction that things need to go in. But
hey, it happened.
I do got to stop and tip my hat that like I saw these and these were, if anyone listened to our halfway through the year sneaker of the year list, nothing really good had come out at the time. It was sort of a last ditch effort. I think I put these at the top of my list. They're certainly not at the top of my list anymore. Spoiler alert for part two. But the reason they ended up here and the reason they ended up where they were is that it was one of the first sneakers I saw this year that got me really interested in what was going on. That made me want to learn more about it and what it was even. Because like it was just so unusual from anything else I'd seen.
Yeah, I think these were a great ad campaign. For sure.
That's a really good way to put it.
Did these get a cease and desist?
I don't know.
Did Vans come after them?
I feel like Vans came after them. I don't remember hearing the story about Vans coming after them for this, but I would not be surprised. I mean, definitely they got shut down from Nike when they did the Jesus shoes and the Satan shoes. And so this was kind of like they did this, but since this, it's been like they literally released like an orthopedic boot. They did. You remember the Gob Stomper shoes that like wear down? So they've definitely been more like doing their own shoes, doing their own silhouettes with the occasional bite on a popular sneaker or something like that. They actually not that long ago had an art installation in New York where they did a bunch of shoes in this wavy style. I think they did the Wave Runner. They did Chicago Jordan 1s. They did this one. So I don't know. I think it's an interesting take on a shoe blending this looks like it was Photoshopped, but actually we brought it to fruition in real life. And I think I just like appreciate that, like you couldn't take this idea to any factory that's already making shoes, you know? So like, I know they had to work on it to get it to even come out. So
for sure,
if nothing else, I just appreciate the lengths that were went through to get here. I don't really know that this needs to be the norm going forward, but it's interesting enough to talk about.
Fair enough. I agree. Great for this category, I would say so. Mm-hmm. Great honorable mention.
But something perhaps even more innovative and something that I could perhaps see myself wearing is the Rose in Good Faith plastic sole clogs, slides. I don't know what we're going to call these.
How do you categorize that?
I don't remember if these ended up in our tier list of all of the clogs and slides episode, which, by the way, on the YouTube channel, go ahead, check it out if you haven't already.
Should be recommended.
Do you know about these?
Mm-mm.
The thing that makes these so innovative, because you might look at it and be like, it's a clog, it's a slide, right? And everyone released a clog and a slide this year. Sure, it's a slightly more interesting design, but like, what's there to it? Let me tell you, these are made out of recycled, unused sex toys. Dildos, to be specific.
Unused.
They are very clear about that in the marketing. I don't know that far into it. I'm not buying a pair. If I'm buying a pair, I'm wearing socks still. I'm not going barefoot. I'm not raw dogging the Rose and Good Faith plastic soles.
Yeah.
But
wear protection. Wear protection.
Absolutely. Well, for the protection, really. But yeah. I don't know. I think I saw these come out and I was like, I think it's a good looking silhouette. I mean, it's a clog, so it's not like groundbreaking, but I like their take on the clog. And I'm, of course, a big fan of, like, the sustainability and, like, environmentalism and, like, recycled materials are a huge thing to me. I really like all that. So I thought these were just a really cool initiative and idea to come out. Again, it's, like, you know, innovative. Innovative is how I would describe it. I've not heard of anyone else making any shoes that way. That's innovative to me. And if you don't know, or even if you do know, still like highly wearable. They don't look like they were made that way. So
Very true.
If you're worried about like weirding people out, you don't need to. If you want to wear a slide that not everyone has, and like you can have a great talking point behind it and talk to people, it's that as well for you. So,
I mean, the shoe is just straight up just like, if you melt anything down, you can't tell where it, was. Exactly. So, I mean,
it's the case of, it's the case study for that. We could melt anything, honestly. If it melts, we could make a shoe out of it.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't put, sex toys and sneakers as like my best collaboration, but let me tell you what is my best collaboration.
That wouldn't be your Instagram bio. Mm-mm. Not in that order anyway. Maybe sneakers first. Yeah. The pod always comes first.
There you go.
Speaking of coming first, what comes first on your list? But actually, don't tell me your honorable mention first. But I call this category historically the heavy hitter of part one. This is usually where the meat of the episode lies. Let's see if this year round is any similar story.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see how 22 kind of laid out for a good partnership. Mm-hmm. And I would say, if you're a fan of NBA, honorable mention, I think currently shaking out as a pretty darn good one. And that is going to be the Air Jordan 1 Low Zion Williamson Voodoo. When this first came out, I was like, I love this shoe. I think it's a great looking shoe. I love a basketball collaboration that is like a very wearable shoe.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, obviously, you're going to have an athlete with their signature shoe, which is going to be more of a performance shoe, which is not the easiest of like a...
I learned that lesson.
Just a wear. Yeah. Zion balling out right now.
Yeah.
Making enemies for being out all last year. So he is... He is really just dunking on people right now. It's
360 great. Dunking with seconds on the clock already in the lead. Just not here to make a friend.
And they were like, why'd you do it? He's like, they knocked us out of the playoffs last year. And like my teammates were like, he straight up was like, they made my friend sad. And that's why I love Zion Williams. And I think all of
reminds me of Ludo from Labyrinth. I'm just like, friend. Just like,
friend. Sad. And I mean, obviously, you know, New Orleans Pelicans, New Orleans, huge voodoo culture in there. And I think these look really great. They're not overdone. You have like a very clear voodoo doll aesthetic going on. It's not like a just obvious take on it. I think it looks great.
Yeah.
I think it definitely fits Zion the way he's playing now. It fits the city really great. It's a great Louisiana shoe, which... Obviously, if you've listened to half an episode, you know we are down bad for some Louisiana shoes. They can never do wrong in our eyes. And I just think it looks really good. I think it's a great, and a Jordan 1 Low has been a big hitter this year. So I thought great silhouette, great partner with Zion, and a good partner with a big city such as New Orleans. So I love it. I think it's great. Coming in strong with my honorable mention right here. And I think I'll say my number one, which might have some controversy to it, but I'm still sticking with it, is going to be the Salehe Bembury Crocs. Like Ryan had said before the episode, hey, these technically, you know, did not come out. They did not originally release this year.
We talked about it off air ahead of time just because I didn't want to blunder on the air. We each set our own criteria. We don't have like set rules that like we go through each other's list and be like, you're not allowed to do that. I was just looking out and making sure like, hey, these originally released last year, but they did still have colorways this year. So
yes. So not a new shoe, which typically I would say I do try to keep it in the.
Now, granted, they released in December of last year, so you're practically...
Right on the cusp.
Yeah.
But we do typically try to either do something new and not just like, they released this retro again. Mm-hmm. However, I would say the reason that I felt that the Salehe Crocs deserved my best collaboration is because they... I mean, this collaboration literally took... a meme of a shoe.
Yeah.
And took it to center stage.
Yeah.
And was like, no. not only is, I mean, obviously most people are trying to get the Slahi Crocs. People now are just like, I just want Crocs. I'll wear
isn't that
Crocs.
Wild?
And so the fact that when Crocs first came out, they were hype, not hype, but you know, people, you know, wore them. Then it became this funny thing. Crocs are kind of lame. And then now all of a sudden it's just like, they're a superstar.
Yeah.
So the Salehi collab really just took something that was sought as a joke, brought it to the center stage, and obviously we did an entire episode mm-hmm. on all of the clogs and that are all clogs, foam.
Mules.
Very yep. similar to Crocs. So not only did Salehi bring Crocs alive again, also created an entirely huge now new market of a yep. foam shoe or slide and things like that. So that's to me is why had to have been best collaboration. I mean, that's literally raising from the dead this brand.
Yeah.
And did it phenomenally. I mean, silhouette looks good, colorways look good. Just had to give it the spotlight it deserves.
Flowers. Absolutely. Can I tell you two things I love about it?
Please.
First thing I love about Salehi, and it's the same thing I love about Joe Fresh Goods, is that they're two designers and collaborators that aren't tied to one single brand. Like Salehi's doing Crocs and New Balance. Joe Fresh Goods is doing New Balance and Converse and Vans. I just love that for them. I love to see them to be able to like go almost anywhere they want and just release whatever they want without being tied to any one brand or anything like that.
I think that is great. I think it's going to, it just creates a better market. Mm-hmm. And you know, it adds, I think that's why Joe Fresh Goods has, it never feels stale when we get a Joe Fresh Goods collab. I think it's because there is that diversity. There is that freedom to move on from one brand to the next. And I think that is one of the best things for sneakers because every time a Joe Fresh Goods release, like you say, comes out, you're like, man, this is phenomenal. And I think that the same thing will be for Salehi.
Yeah.
Of just every time, maybe the Crocs goes on.
Out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, maybe Crocs goes on a pause for a bit and there's other shoe brands and then another line of Crocs, you know, and it just every time Salehi will drop something will be good. So, like I said, I think just bringing Crocs to light and then creating an entirely new foam footwear market that we have, for me, had to be best collab.
Okay, the other thing I got to touch on real quick, and hopefully it's quick. I love that they keep releasing them and the resale prices are dropping. It's the reason I was finally able to grab a pair of these. I finally picked up the all black, the Sasquatch colorway. I don't know why, like some of the original colorways are still reselling for so much and the more recent ones are not. But
cheap.
Yeah, they're not reselling. The original colorways probably more wearable than some of the more recent, like bright blue, like kind of peach colored ones, but still I'm here for it. Let them keep releasing. Let people not buy them up so that the people who like actually want to get them to wear them can. I love it.
Exactly. At the end of the day, it's a Croc. So it should be for the people.
Yep. Crocs for the people. 2024, a platform to stand on. Speaking of a platform to stand on, let's empty these platforms out. I'm coming in.
Ooh.
Here we go. If you listen to this show, you know this is where I will spend the second 50 minutes of our episode. After we're 50 minutes in, I'll talk. I'm doing my best to keep it brief this year.
Ooh, okay.
Honorable mention, best collaboration, the Sneaker Politics and ASICS Gel Light 3 Always Ready. Salute. Absolutely salute. The details. Just the details. The details and the rollout. You know, it's... I'm not going to pretend like the theme of these is like super deeply resonant with me. And like, you know, I've had like this giant military background or anything like that, but like, of course, respect to anyone that's ever served our country, but all the little details, the interchangeable patches, the little tearaways on the shoes, everything in the box, all the little extras that came with it, just the details of the execution that they did sold me on maybe a story alone that wouldn't have is probably the best way that I can put it is, you know,
yeah,
I wouldn't have maybe necessarily gone for it. I could be honest, probably if it wasn't a Sneaker Politics, if probably some other shop had done this, probably wouldn't have gone for it, but always going to support the hometown heroes, you know, always 100%. Gonna ride for politics.
100%.
So I'm here for it. A little biased because we got to review these as well, you know?
Yeah.
But true. I'm not gonna say that wasn't like a top 2022 moment for us, you know? Like,
yeah,
that's way up there. So
that will definitely be tied to the shoe. First GLI 3. That I own, only GLI 3 that I had. Great silhouette, super comfortable. Material, phenomenal, very comfortable shoe to wear. The split tongue on the GLI 3s is super cool. And like you said, it's a great shoe, and it's not overly done, mm-hmm. For being, you know, a veteran shoe.
Yeah.
So, you know, the small little rip away, you know, revealing, you know, the stars and then revealing the stripes, I think was a great little hit to really hit home with that kind of like, you know, army green, I guess, if that's mm-hmm. how you want to,
yeah.
Label that colorway. So it's, again, it's not just overly done to where it's kind of tacky. I think it's done really great.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, the release and everything about this, the
rollouts, they let veterans have first dibs on these. Like, come on. Gotta give it up. Gotta give credit for that.
Definitely an easy honorable mention collab with that one.
And then for me, what's coming in at my number one for best collaboration of the year? The Ama Meniere and Air Jordan 4 Violent Ore, which I think if you've been on the internet for the last week, literally every other post on the internet is someone mm-hmm. holding the Lost and Found in one hand and the Ama Meniere 4 in the other and going, guys, what do you think? Which one's sneaker of the year? So, like, you know, not super out of left field to be like, I think this is my favorite collaboration of the year. I will say between the two of these, here's where I get torn. Is that I feel like politics for me hit the storytelling, hit all the details.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Ama Meniere Air Jordan 4 hit wearability on the head for me. Like, I love the Gel Light 3s. It's not an everyday shoe. And I've definitely got to put some work into the outfit that's going around with it. Whereas with the Ama Meniere Jordan 4s, I'm not going to drag them through the mud for being like they didn't really do that much to the Jordan 4, because I think when Ama Meniere collaborates on Jordans, as we've seen, they give it a luxury feel. That's what they do with colorways and materials and the quilted insides and the box and packaging. They're not there to get like super wacky with the materials or like, here's a picture of Michael Jordan on the side of the you know, like that's just not what they do.
Yeah.
They just make it a little bit more of a luxury product. And I feel like they did that with this one. And so
I think it's a really good take and point for Ama Meniere in general is they aren't going to do a very kind of like kooky collab that we may see from like concepts. And they're not going to do a ground up with this huge storytelling and big rollout and a very special thing. I think it's a great point to just be like, nope, they're just like, hey, what if we took a very classic shoe and made it that luxury.
Elevated.
And I think that's great. The same thing with the, you know, Jordan brand did that with the fives that I had wanted and then saw the price tag and immediately was like,
yeah. But yeah, I mean, I like that Ama Meniere though, like on the little heel tabs, there'll typically be like a Michael Jordan quote that like, you know, that's where you'll get your little taste of something extra. The box will normally have like a picture of Michael Jordan wearing that specific silhouette of like an iconic moment. So for these, it was the shot. But then also in the release and the rollout, they use the product on their platform at that time to typically push a good message for social justice or have people get involved in a social justice cause, which I personally was not going to go on the State of the Shoe Union Instagram and be like, let me start telling you my political beliefs, because that's just not me personally. I'm a big introvert and it's not where I want to lead. But I give them kudos for doing that. I chose not to participate in that way and miss out on that opportunity. I think anyone that was courageous enough to go and do that and, you know, be that voice in the world fully deserves opportunity to get first dibs on these. So I'm not here to knock the release.
Yeah. And I think that fits Ama Meniere to the T as well of using that as their ticket chances or however you may, you know, however they wanted to phrase that.
quick footnote, because I was on good behavior and didn't list too many collaborators.
I think deserved.
At this point, it's expected, if nothing else. And I'll say it the same thing I said to you before we got on this call, right at the camera. If Cactus Plant Flea Market had stuck with the original collaboration they were supposed to do with Nike, that would be probably top of this list. It would at least be honorable mention. The Grinch shoes, the furry guys, absolutely not. Nowhere near best collaboration. I'm still crossing my fingers that first colorway and release comes out at some point. I know you're not a fan of them. I learned that today, but
right. Here's the thing. Here's what you can do. Get any shoe you want. Doesn't have to be the, whatever shoe you want.
Uh-oh.
Go cut the grass when it's wet.
I don't want the Grinches. I want the other ones.
No. The other ones. That is the other ones.
I don't have
the whole bottom.
I don't have. Okay. But the bottom, but the top, okay. I love the color and the materials and all that. Okay. I don't have it set up to show you.
My boy's on the ACG grind. That's an ACG looking shoe.
Watch for the next episode. I'm going to put another one of these shirts on.
They straight up were like, yo, what if Moss grew in a shoe? And my boy was like, say again?
Moss grew on the shoe? Like, but you were outside?
I will say, it's not a horrible shoe. It is. I think it is a good looking shoe. I think it's a good, innovative shoe, because it is very wacky. I do love the...
I feel like you're now using innovative as like a passive aggressive. It's innovative. No, it's innovative.
I think they use good materials. Mm-hmm. I think they do a good job of breaking up that shoe. But boy, you think the always ready GLI 3 is hard to wear with an outfit?
Fair, touche. I'll give you that one.
That's a confidence shoe right there, though.
You got to have it. That's gonna do it for part one. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening and watching. We will be back before too long. I would guess probably within the next week with part two. You want to give them, you want to give them a little taste of, I mean, if they watch this far in the video, they deserve it. You want to tell them the categories?
Should we do? Okay. Yeah, sure.
Not to put you on the spot, but.
No, I got you.
You got them.
So we have best retro.
Mm.
I think it's a good one. We have favorite shoe you obtained this year.
Doesn't have to have come out this year. Just favorite shoe you got this year.
Just things that you bought or that you got. Yeah. Very good. Ooh.
This one.
Worst sneaker, biggest appointment.
We're not going to talk about the best without talking about the worst.
Exactly. I think that one's going to be a fun one. Very excited for that one. Mm-hmm. And then obviously what everyone's waiting for, sneaker of the year, that one giving a top three.
Top three for each of us.
Given our podium, our real Olympic medals for that one.
Yeah.
I think that one's going to be fun. Absolutely. I think... best retro, probably nothing crazy. Honestly, I think our best retro is going to be the exact same. Honestly, looking at yours, our first place was going to be the same, so that makes sense. Favorite shoe?
Everyone on the internet is like, "What shoe could it possibly be?" I mean, we're going to do it for ceremony. We'll still talk about it.
Favorite shoe you got this year? I think great. I think it's a great one. Memory lane.
Yeah.
Worst sneaker, biggest disappointment. Very excited for that one.
Love to drag.
Very
them.
Excited.
You love to drag them.
Yeah.
You got to. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening to another episode of State of the Shoe Union. Here comes the plugs. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/shoepodcast. You can also check us out online at shoepodcast.com. It'll have links to everything we're talking about here. Check us out on Instagram at shoepodcast. That is the social media where we're most active. And finally, catch us over on YouTube at youtube.com/@shoepodcast. If you've watched this far in the video, I know you like the content. Please like the video and subscribe. We appreciate it very much. Tanner, anything you want to leave the people with before we get out of here?
Put yourself forward first. Sometimes it's always great to think of others and be very considerate, but let's normalize on some occasions putting yourself forward and thinking of what's best for you. And while what's best for you sometimes may upset other people, you should always make sure that you love yourself and you do what's best for you so that you then can do what's best for others.
Love it. Awesome moment. Suck you right back in the metaverse. Let us know in the comments what your favorite shoes of the year are. Go through all the categories. Let us know what lines up for you. I got to counterbalance you because the internet's still an evil place and one of us has to be.
It is.
All right. Thanks for checking out another episode of State of the Shunion, part two, coming very shortly. I'm your co-host, Ryan Landry.
I'm your co-host, Tanner Young.
YouTuber outro.